trouble for Made in the USA.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Free trade has done a lot to weaken manufacturing in this country. Remove barriers, and the low-cost producer wins. But it's a global economy, and this morning a new survey reported by the Financial Times has a stark warning. One in three U.S. manufacturers is at risk of going out of business unless they engage more internationally. Growth of the Made in China label has helped the Chinese stock market more than double this year. Overnight, the market in Shanghai picked up 2%. Other Asian markets were mixed. Japan was down, but Hong Kong added more than 1%. It's a mixed bag across Europe this morning after a weak reading on German business confidence. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow picked up 65 to 13,232. The S&P added 9 points. The Nasdaq was higher by 21. Twice a year, the Treasury Department releases its foreign exchange report. It always creates controversy. Practices of some trading partners might not be fair. Alisa Roth previews this morning's report and looks at the only trading partner that counts.
Yes, you guessed it. China.
There is an attempt to try to get China, in particular, to allow faster and greater appreciation of its currency.
Jim Barth is a senior fellow at the Milken Institute. He says the U.S. worries China's keeping its currency artificially cheap, and that's making the trade deficit worse. The Treasury's never actually used this report to accuse China of manipulating its currency for trade advantage, but everyone will be watching to see if the U.S. does something different this time. Still, Bart doesn't think the report, no matter how strongly worded, will make much difference.
The U.S. is going to have a hard time pushing China to do anything. I think China, as a major country, can't afford to be given the rest of the world the view that China is going to do whatever the U.S. asks it to do.
Barth says China's worried that exporting less to the U.S. would mean manufacturing less, and that could lead to problems with unemployment. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
In South Africa, citizens are waking up with a bit of a political hangover today. The country's ruling party elected a leader tarnished by allegations of corruption. It's arguably the biggest political moment in South Africa since the end of apartheid in 1994. Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg.
South Africa's President Thabo Mbeki has championed free trade during his 8 years in office, making him a darling of the IMF and World Bank. But 40% of South Africans remain unemployed and shut out of the country's economic growth. That's one reason delegates overwhelmingly voted for his former deputy, Jacob Zuma. Zuma, who was sacked last year after being implicated in a bribery scandal, is now in pole position to lead Africa's biggest economy in 2009. Zuma's backers, namely the trade unions and the Communist Party, are hoping for a change. But political analyst David Monyai says the country's economic direction is not likely to be rocked by ideology.
He has given assurance to the international business community that he's going to stick to the current economic policies.
That is, if everything goes according to plan. Zuma may be recharged with corruption next year. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
When Larry Summers was U.S. Treasury Secretary, he talked a lot about holding the line on government spending. Now he's a Harvard University professor and investment fund manager. Summers sees odds for recession at better than 50%, so he's changing his tune. He told the Wall Street Journal the government should consider cutting taxes and spending more, a package worth as much as $75 billion. Summers also criticized the Fed for not cutting interest rates quickly enough.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Half the battle of holiday shopping is thinking of a perfect gift. Gift cards are an easy solution, reduce some of the stress. There's another that's becoming very popular, online gift registries. Dan Ankeles reports.
The holidays are supposed to be a festive time, but then the craziness begins.
I think my least favorite thing is trying to come up with the perfect gift for 25 different people all in the space of a week.
And the tension kicks in.
When people don't treat each other good because they're so stressed and they're mean to each other.
And then did you get the right presents? Why not use the internet to find out?
With our system, basically you can add absolutely anything, and that goes from products to services. You can add opera tickets. You can add a night of babysitting for your children.
Nancy Lee is president of MyRegistry.com. The website lets people create a gift registry complete with links to stores. When people buy gifts this way, MyRegistry gets commissions. Thousands have created holiday-themed registries for themselves or their families on the site, says Lee. It's a discreet way to give people options.
You know, it puts you in a very awkward position when people ask you what kind of gift they should buy for your children, because you don't know how much money they want to spend.
This way, you can buy something you can afford or contribute what you want towards an expensive gift. Cecilia Fatzinger, an internet-savvy homemaker from Bowie, Maryland, has 11 children to worry about this holiday season. But she's appalled at the crass commercialism the service promotes.
What I think will happen is that kids, starting at a young age, will start thinking, I can have whatever I want. It's about me and about what I get, not about, you know, Christmas being a celebration of the birth of Christ.
Fatzinger says the service solves a problem that actually helps build children's character.
We're not going to say, he got something better than I did. We're not going to tell people, I already have that, or I didn't want that, because that's being disrespectful and rude and not grateful. And that's not what Christmas is about.
And, she says, not getting what you want can teach a valuable lesson.
Well, I think it's good to be disappointed sometimes. It's called realistic. It's called real life.
In Washington, I'm Dan Ankeles for Marketplace.
And you can hear all the stories we're covering on the Morning Report podcast. Download it at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.